things are possible. Lord, I believe.
We sing only believe, Lord.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Amen. Let's give him a hand this evening. Brother Tony, for leading us in worship, and I sure did enjoy that singing. That was really good. I know the kids had a little bit of a press getting here. Elijah didn't get off till right at 6, and they no hoof gonna be left behind. So they went by and swung by and picked him up, and they headed this way. So the Lord will bless you for your sacrifices for that. I know sometimes it can be tough. It can be tough in this walk. You know, it's not an easy one. It's not an easy battle. But it's one that's worth fighting for. I want to speak on you. A little thought I feel the Lord gave me. Little by little, and you shall have it. Little by little, you shall have it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12. And I think she'll have this on the multimedia for us. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, we ask you that you would just come and be in our midst, Lord. Let me be just a yielded vessel that you could step in, that you can work through, Lord. I ask you that you would drop a coal of fire into our hearts tonight, Lord, that it can burn to the next time we meet again, Lord, or the next time we commune with you and our fellowship with you, Lord. Lord God, let something solid be given tonight, Lord, that can draw us closer to you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to read a quote for you. Says Moses, then he failed God. Moses is a perfect type of the church organization. That's excuses, brethren, but I want you to listen close. All of them things was a shadow and a type. And today you hear people say, oh, I belong to so-and-so. I belong to the Methodists. Not only that, but Pentecostal people, holiness people. I belong to the assemblies. They're the greatest. I belong to the church of God. And Brother Branham snaps his finger and he says, God don't care that much about either one of them or any of them. No, sir. God's interested in an individual or a man or a woman that dares to trust him. God wants someone to trust him. He wants you to be able to take him at his word.
Amen.
And I'll read just a couple other quotes to build my foundation. It says, let me tell you something right now. God never did fool with an organization. He never did, never will. No, sir. And I'll just call any historian's attention right now. There never has been a church in all the ages that ever failed when they failed to see the power of God and get miracles and the things out of their church. God lays her on the shelf and she never does revive again. He said Luther there, Methodist there, Baptist there, Presbyterian there, and the Pentecost is on its road there now. But out of that conglomeration of the whole thing, God will raise up another undergrowth there, like he did when he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. I know you think we're an awful noisy bunch. Well, brother, I can prove to you that there ain't no noisy, there ain't no God there. Listen, in the Old Testament, when Aaron, the anointed with the rolls of Sharon, when he had the anointing oil that run down his beard to the hems of his skirt, he had taken the sacrifice and he went into the Holy of Holies. And when he went behind the curtain across his garment, he had a pomegranate and a bell. A pomegranate and a bell so that they'd hit together. And when he walked in, it played, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." That's the anointed church of God moving into the holiest of holies. And looky here, brother, the reason they did that was the only way they could tell he was alive. They listened to hear if there was any noise. If there was no noise, he was dead. And that's today a church that's born again, going into the holiest of holies, anointed with God's pomegranate bell. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, you know that they're alive. A bell ringing, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." The outsiders pass by and scoffers say, "Look at them." That's all right. Look at them. Hallelujah. How wonderful. "Holy, holy unto the Lord," played the bells against the pomegranates. You know, a Christian, there's something inside you that automatically makes some noise, but it's not so much the noise of just our mouth that we want people to hear, but it is a life that is lived. It's a life that whenever the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, it actually creates a music, it creates a chemistry, it creates a power in our life. Whenever we live this life, it creates an atmosphere. Is that right? Yeah. I can't tell you how many times, by the grace of God, and I say this humbly before the Lord, and He knows it to be the truth, that I've had many customers here in just the last few weeks where I would be talking to them about none other than a vehicle, but in the midst of me showing the vehicle, they'll break down in tears and say, "I love the presence of the Lord that you have around you. It's absolutely amazing." One of them was an 82-year-old woman. I was talking to her in a van, and she was an old teacher, and I just talked to her and just been compassionate with her, talking to her, and the Spirit of the Lord just come down, and she began to just, tears come out of her eyes, and she said, "I just love the presence of the Lord that you have on you. It's just amazing." "Well, God bless you, sister." I said, "I appreciate that." I said, "It's not me, that's Him." But you know what? That's what it is whenever a believer is walking with the Spirit, when the believer is walking with the truth, when the believer has the Word in front of you, it creates an atmosphere, and it is creating a noise that's saying, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord God Almighty." But it is not something that we are saying with our mouth. It's nothing that we're having to say that I'm a Christian, but it is God testifying, "This is my bride." Amen. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say that I had the token applied during the night of Goshen when the angel was going to come forth, but it was when God testified, "I recognize this token," whenever the death angel passed over that house. And I'm going to tell you, friends, today it is God testifying in the midst of a crooked generation where people are walking in the darkest of darks. In the midst of that, God has a bride that He is saying, "I testify, this is my bride." Amen. It is not us saying it, it is Him that's saying it. And whenever we are walking in this truth, God is saying, "Holy, holy, holy."
Yeah.
Amen. I'm so thankful to be a Christian. I'm so thankful that God has chosen us. The bride of Christ has been given the dove spirit because she has that lamb nature. There's something on here. Brother Graham talked very clearly, and I don't want to go too much in depth in this, about how a person can have the wolf nature about them, a bad attitude of many different things, of living a dirty life. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell there. But the bride has come to a point where she has a lamb nature, something inside her that will agree with the dove. And that's why she can commune with God. Brother Tony preached many here recently about the two different times of whenever Jesus was in the water with John the Baptist, and the voice spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But then later on, he was on Mount Transfiguration. God added to that. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." He stepped on up into adoption. It was a preview of adoption. And brothers and sisters, God's calling us to that.
Amen.
Amen. The bride of Christ, she is a work of God, and no minister or man can claim credit to her. She is created without the hands of man. Think of that. She can't even take credit for the own workmanship of God in her life. Think of that. You cannot take credit for the work that God's doing in your life. Because without God knocking on your heart and God putting His Spirit in you, you wouldn't even be here tonight. It's God. It's all God. Just as sure as we start to think that we have this thing under control, God will allow us to fall a little bit just to remind us that we are His workmanship. How many knows what I'm talking about? You start feeling comfortable and you start thinking, you know what, I got this thing under control. All I got to do is do this and I got to do this. And real quickly, you will find out that you will fall flat on your face and recognize you need God to pick you back up again. We sung that song about Honey on the Rock, My Brother. You know, it's one of our best times that we have that God can get your attention whenever you're falling asleep spiritually or you're drifting away, is God can allow something to happen to take place to where you need that medicine and you need that honey. Brother Branham said the divine healing was that honey. Divine healing. But that was not the major. That was just the minor. That was just to get people to God. But you know what? God can use that in our lives to where He will get to a point where you need a touch from the Lord. And during that time, that's when God can bring you back to His fold and do what He needs to do in your life. If man ever starts to put too much emphasis on a certain minister, God will allow that man to fall, or he'll fall in your eyes. Always remember that if you hold a certain minister higher than another, and do that, the Lord can allow that man to fall because He's got to get your eyes off of that man and realize it's not that man. It is God. It is God moving in your life. It is God speaking. It is God in this church. Amen. Just as sure as He allowed the fall to take place to manifest God, just as sure as He allowed to the fall to take place to manifest His attributes, He will allow obstacles to come up in our way to bring out those attributes in us. Sometimes we wonder, why in the world am I going through what I'm going through? It's because God has got attributes inside you that He needs to get out of you. Right. Animals are identified by their characteristics. They act a certain way when they're a baby. They act a certain way when they're grown. And whether no matter what animal it is, you watch them, they've got certain characteristics about them. We have these scissor tail flycatchers at our lot. And we come to the lot the other day, and they were all over the parking lot. Four different ones, and there were little bitty fellers that fell out of their nest. I don't know what happened to the nest. But we were trying to say rescue, be rescuers, and we'd go over and we'd get them and take them back over to the shade, and we'd, you know, try to give them some water over there, and we'd go about our business. And next thing you know, they're right back out there again. And we'd go out there, and somebody else would pick them up, and a bunch of grown men out there with little bitty birds, you know, afraid, just worried to death they're going to die, you know. We'd go get these little birds, and it was just in their nature. They had no idea what to do. They were going to go out on this concrete, but next thing we know, we heard this mama chirping. And mama was going over there, and she was coaxing them over to the grass where there was a field, and there was a tree and shade. And we began to watch this little mama, and she would chirp, and she would holler at them, and them little stubborn things would turn around and look, and she would chirp a little louder. And I thought, sister, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes you just chirp, 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 please, over here, over here, over here, you know. And she kept chirping out, and finally, she got them all hurtled over there. Because she was a mother, and she knew that those were her babies, and she knew where safety was. And those birds, those little bitty birds, didn't understand. They thought, no, it's too hot, the obstacles are too hard, there's this big, long pavement that we've got to get to where you're telling us to go, it's impossible. That pavement, we're like grasshoppers, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, it's huge, how can we ever get there? But mama said, I know, this is where you need to go. And I thought, you know what, this is a lot like us. God wants to get us somewhere. He wants to get us taken somewhere. But you know what? A lot of times we have to stop looking at the obstacles and start saying, God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You that You're going to get me. Imagine some of the greatest battles that's ever been fought in war. If they would have said, okay, guys, you're going to be right here in the midst of the battle, and you're not going to be able to see, you're not going to be able to smell, you're not going to be able to do anything. It's going to be chaotic. Your best friends are going to die from you. Paint the most chaotic picture you can possibly imagine, and they'll talk themselves out of the battle. But what they have to do is rest on the training that they've been given, and they have to take one step at a time. And brothers and sisters, that's what we have got to do, is take one step at a time. And I think I said the wrong title at the beginning of the service. It's one step at a time. I changed it on the way here to service, but I didn't change it on my tablet. I think my wife got it right on the Facebook, but I just realized that. But it's one step at a time. You know, whenever you're on a treadmill and you're going running, I'm going to show you something. When you're running that treadmill, it's real easy to have your head start looking downwards. And you're just trying to push, and all you're doing is seeing your foot, and you will talk yourself into quitting. But you know what you got to do is you got to lift your head up. And you have got to tell yourself, breathe through your nose. Breathe in your nose and breathe out your mouth. Pace yourself one step at a time. In your nose, at your mouth. In your nose, at your mouth. And next thing you know, because a lot of times what people will do, they will try to breathe through their mouth when they're running. And they actually wear themselves out because they're not breathing right. How many knows that's right? When you're running, you have got to keep your head up. You got to breathe through your nose, out your mouth, and pace yourself and do one step at a time. And this walk with the Lord, brothers, it is not a race, it is a marathon. You run it, you give everything you've got, you say, I'm going to pray, and I'm not speaking against praying. Understand what I'm saying? But you can push yourself and say, okay, I'm going to push. I prayed, I felt the presence of God, okay, I got it, I'm going to run to my next prayer, I'm going to pray, okay, I feel the presence of God. You can do that really hard and push yourself really hard, and you find yourself depending on the feelings of the Lord. But this is a marathon. I want to tell you something. When you start running that race and you feel the testosterone's in your legs and you're feeling good and you start running, oh, you feel great. The engine's feeling good. Some of the strongest guys you've ever met, they'll start the Marines. Oh, they feel good. They got this testosterone's in their legs. They're running. But the next thing you know, the feelings go away. Those good feelings that you have of when I'm going to go to the Marines go away, because their feelings, all they begin to feel is exhaustion. And their mind will tell them, you can't do this. Your mind will tell you, you can't win this race. Your mind will tell you, you're not strong enough. Your mind will tell you, quit. You may as well quit. It's too hard. You can't do it. You may as well quit. But one of the greatest things they've learned in the Marines is your mind don't know what it's thinking. It doesn't, because you can push your body further than what your mind thinks it can do. Let me give you another example. You talk about a woman that's going to have a baby. Her mind will tell her, I can't do it. I cannot have this baby. It's impossible. The pain, the contractions, the hunger pains, the hormones, I can't do it. But they've been doing it for a long time. But you've got to go beyond what you can think and what this right here goes, and you've got to go to something that it's a provided way that God has given. God gave a provided way for a mother to have a baby. And if she will rest upon that provided way, God will see it through, that it'll take place. I'm trying to show you something, all these naturals topping spiritual. The devil will try very hard in this marathon of a race of telling it, you may as well quit. Yeah. You may as well give up. It's too hard. There's too many roles. That's what the devil tell you. There's too many roles. It's too hard. I can't do it. I've tried. I run really hard. And when I ran, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. And I'm running. And you begin to get tired. And next thing you know, slowly you start picking them all right back up again and doing the same things all over again. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's a marathon. It is not a race, it is a marathon. One of the greatest things that we can always remember, brothers and sisters, is this guy right here is your worst enemy, and it's the guy that you're going to fight every day of your life. You may kill a Philistine today, you'll have to fight an Amorite tomorrow. Whenever you get the Holy Ghost, I'm sad to say, you're still going to hit your finger with a hammer every now and again. I did it today. But praise the Lord. By His grace, when we do those things, we don't act like somebody out there does, because of a characteristic that God has put in our life. You say amen?
Amen.
And I spanked it good. My wife seen it. She said, ooh. Yeah, that hurt. The The prophet spoke of cisterns and how that it will, having a cistern and how it will welcome wiggletails and it'll welcome the frogs, it'll welcome those things. And I just want to show you something. I'm not going to stay here very long on this subject, just for a moment. He talked about how that you have the cistern and how that whenever you have a cistern of stagnant water, when you have that, you automatically start having the wiggletails. You will automatically start having the snakes. You will automatically start having the stench. You will automatically, it comes automatically. And I'm going to tell you spiritually, brothers and sisters, if we allow our experience to sit stagnant, you will start battling things that you have no sense in even battling in the first place. And the reason is you're allowing yourself to sit in a stagnant place. And it goes back to where you got to rest in the Lord. You've got to pray. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to do those things. But brothers and sisters, it's a marathon. You got to realize just because you feel the Holy Ghost today, tomorrow, or next week, you might not feel it. That doesn't mean you're out of the race. Pick your head up, breathe through your nose, exit out your mouth, and do one step at a time. And you keep running. And the next thing you know, that Spirit of the Lord will come right back down and touch your heart again. I feel very specifically the Lord told me to address these certain things right here. The devil will tell you to quit. The devil will tell you, you may as well give up. Listen to what I'm telling you. You cast those thoughts to the side, and you pick your head back up, and you start running.
Amen.
Amen. The environment of living in that cistern will bring manifestations of a contaminated life. You haven't been lost. Get back to the clean water. Get back to the well. Get back to doing the things that you were doing right. And you'll start seeing a lot of these battles that you've been fighting. Nonsense battles is what I'm going to call them. Nonsense battles will take care of themselves. A lot of the battles that the Christians fight today is nonsense battles. It's because you're allowing yourself to sit in an environment that you have no sense in sitting in. When I was a young Christian, give my heart to the Lord. The Lord revealed to me right then that I knew my friends. I had friends of high school. I knew that if I was to continue to go with them and hang with them, I'm going to act like them. You know, you'll walk a little straighter, but I knew I would act like them. Because I'm here to tell you, it's a rude way of saying it, but it's an honest, clearest way I know how to say it. If you got somebody that's got cow manure all over them, and you're hugging next to them, you're going to get the cow manure on you. And if someone listens from the internet and says, if you will take and listen humbly what I'm saying, you'll find out it's the truth. If you hang around, try hanging around the friends and doing the things you used to do, just because you're in a message church, just because you're a believer, does not keep you from falling into those things.
Right.
Because whenever you're around them, you will be talked into doing the same things that they do, and it's okay. And the devil will tell you you're okay because you're not doing these. You're not doing that, so you're okay. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's going to be easy. I would say this is for the young people. I think it's for older people too. It was not easy. It was not easy because I love my friends. And when I started walking, when I got serious with the Lord, started walking with that, there was a separation. There was a pulling away. And there was times when I felt all alone. There was times when I felt beat down. I felt, you know what, I don't know how I can do this. I felt so terrible. But I had to just pick my head up and just keep pacing. And you know what I began to realize, brothers and sisters? The Spirit of the Lord would meet me. Whenever I pushed away the things of the world, God would fill that void. I'm here to tell you, if you will humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I am going to push the world away. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to run this race with you. But I'm not going to try to do it like a race. It's a marathon. I can't say that enough. This is a marathon. You may feel the Holy Ghost bumps on you so bad you can't help but cry. Lay in bed and hold your hands up. Shout. I've done it many times. How many has done that before? Well, y'all need to do it. you go through time where the Spirit of the Lord is so strong on you, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take a rapture at any moment. And you're absolutely great. You're like, I'm never going to let this go away. And a few weeks later, he was like, where's it at? Where's the feelings at? Where's the emotions at? Where's those at? The dog has not left you. Pick your head up and keep running. Because this is a marathon. It's an abomination for the bride to walk around like she's not saved. It's an abomination for the bride to walk around doubting whether she's saved or not. Do I got the Holy Ghost or not? Do I have it? Do I not have the Holy Ghost? Could you imagine a husband, Brother Tony, or Brother Richard? They're the only brothers in here that's married. That's really not that. Could you imagine your wife going every day and say, I don't know if we're married or not. I don't know if she loves me or not. I don't know. You know how miserable that would be? For a man that's providing for you, he's giving you all the food that you need, all the clothing that you need, he's giving you everything that you need, and then you're walking around doubting, I don't know if he loves me or not. Maybe he's going to leave me. Maybe he's going to divorce me. Maybe he's going to put me away. Because you're walking in doubt. Can you imagine the feeling that that would put on a man on earth? Of a wife? He's doing everything he can possibly do to make you see that he loves you. But you're doubting him? Brothers and sisters, think spiritually of how the Lord must feel sometimes when he has given us everything that we have need of. But sometimes we find ourselves walking in the dooms and glooms and saying, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that. The Lord gave me a good spanking here the other day of how I was just, my cells were just having a battle for every single thing, and the Lord began to put in remembrance of me of showing how blessed I really am. And started going down the list of seeing how blessed I am. A lot of times, and I did not mean to bring that up in this service, but brothers and sisters, we need to go back and look at how blessed we really are. And look how grateful that we should be. Amen. In this walk. That God has given us a message. God has given us a church. God has given us family. God has given us friends. God has given us so many things, because the devil will try to get you to look at the negative and make you think you don't have anything. He'll make you think that you're miserable, you ain't got no money, you've got this, you're going bad with that. Come on. You say amen, young people? Mm-hmm. I remember being young and wonder where in the world, where does this end? I've worked all week long, and I have nothing to show for it. Amen, young people? Sometimes old people. You work so hard. You're trying so hard to you're working, you're sacrificing, you're doing these things, and you're doing your job as faithful as you can. But then when you get your paycheck, and after you pay this, and you pay this, and you pay this, and you've got two nickels to rub together. How spiritual do you feel? Whenever you've got two nickels to rub together after paying everything, and now you want to go get a hamburger, and you ain't got money to buy a hamburger. You ain't got money to buy fries. Give my daughter a hard time today. She said, Daddy, can I get a french fry? I said, well, I think they sell, I don't know if they sell them individually. I said, but we'll try. She said, well, Dad, I want more than one. I said, well, Hannah, I don't think they'll give you two. Imagine that, a dollar can buy french fries nowadays. I remember whenever I would have to dig in the couch, try to come up with money, but to try to get some food. Trust me, I know, brothers and sisters, I know it can be frustrating. It can make you worrisome. We're like, when's this end? When does this battle end? I promise you, pick your head back up and keep running. Because it will get better. You can talk to that little woman that's laying on the bed with the contractions going on. The guy, the husband, can sit there and say, come here, babe. We're calling her out. For real. Oh, for real? She says, for real? For real? She's battling allergy. You guys just bear with her. She can be fighting the contractions. She can be doubled over. She can be going through allergies. Of all the problems, and because I'm not going through what she's going through, and I can say the contractions, it'll get better after the contractions. Just pick your head up. In your nose, out your mouth. It'll make her want to slap you and run you out of the room. because she has a tendency to look and say, you have no idea what I'm going through. I'm dying here. I'm suffering here. But I'm telling you, the promise says, you're going to be okay. By his stripes, you're healed. And the more she can look past, you don't know what I'm going through, and listen to the message that's been given to me, that's been given to you. You're going to be okay. By his stripes, you are healed. And the more she can push that to the side and listen to the message, then she can receive it. You can get sit down now. For now. We might call you back up here in just a few minutes. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? It's real easy for the preacher to preach to you, and you're saying, you know, you have no idea what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like to be a girl, preacher. You don't know what it's like to have to wear these dresses all the time, wear long hair all the time, do this all the time, do this all the time, preacher. Amen? I ain't saying amen to that. I thank God that I'm a brother. I'm looking back. I know firsthand the battles. I've seen my wife, my daughters. We've inherited Sister Rachel. We claim her as one of our own. I've seen firsthand the battles that they have to fight, and brothers don't have to fight those battles. They don't have to deal with the headaches. They don't have to deal with going brushing your hair every single time. Some brothers in the church don't even have to. I could have had Brother Tim all the way from Garfield. Brothers can look at sisters can say, you don't know the battles we're fighting. Look at the battles that we have to fight. And brothers, a lot of times, don't realize the sacrifice that it takes to be a godly sister in this hour. Because they have fashion thrown in their face every day. They've got this every day, this every day, this every day. And you have this feeling. I'm here to tell you, now maybe other brothers have fought this, but I have never gone through battle having to worry thinking I'm ugly. I don't care. I've been this way my whole life. It doesn't matter to me. But a sister, that is a genuine battle that they have to fight where they'll think, I'm not pretty. I'm too fat. I'm too tall. I'm too short. My feet look funny. My hands look funny. You think these are funny? I'm telling you, these are real battles that young ladies have to fight. Godly sisters have to fight on a daily basis. When you go to work and you're the only one that's doing this. You're the only one dressed this way. You're the only one doing this. When you got somebody beside you, two or three or four, it's easier. But when you're by yourself and you're the only one, it's hard. But listen to what I'm saying. Pick up your head. Breathe through your nose. Exit out your mouth. You go. And run this race. Because I'm telling you, it will get easier. Is that right? Mm-hmm. The older sisters, I thank y'all for saying amen, because it gets easier. For young men, I'm here to tell you, I know the battles. You're not looking at somebody that have to get in and go through those battles and fight the temptation, or a young man or an old man has to walk with his head straight up anymore. Not because he's running the race, but because everyone's naked anywhere he looks. Every direction he looks, a woman's naked. Every time you pull up your phone to look up the weather, you'll have a pop-up. It's constant bombardment. Constant bombardment. And you will tell yourself, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to look at these things. I'm not going to do those things. But what's the devil do? He'll put those things right in front of your face over and over and over and over and over and over. And you know what the devil's doing? Whenever you are behind the token and you've got the blood upon your door, you have to be behind the blood. You have to be eating, partaking of the lamb and the bitter herbs. You have to have the shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You have to be ready to go. And the devil will keep bringing those things. Why is he doing that? Because he wants you to step out from behind that blood. He wants you. He'll tempt you. He'll tempt you. Here's this Hollywood. Here's this with the hair. Here's this with the dress. Here's this with the woman. Here's this with the girl. That one don't work. Here's another girl. That one don't work. Here's a different kind. Here's this one. Here's this one. Here's this. The devil will keep trying and keep trying and keep trying until he finds something or he looks for a characteristic in your face. He'll say, aha! I'm talking about real battles. But I'm here to tell you, it gets easier. Say amen, Brother Tony. Brother Brennan, I've heard people talk about how Brother Brennan would put a cross in his car on his rearview mirror. I've never heard Brother Brennan say this, but I've heard people, a lot of people say that Brother Brennan would do that because of sin stuff on the street. Take it for what you want for it. Hey, if it helps you, praise the Lord. But you find something that helps you whenever you sin, those temptations, and you're finding yourself in that same battle over and over and over again. It's time to mature up and say, okay, I know if I go down this route, I'm going to make a mistake.
Right.
And through maturity, you learn, I'm not going that way anymore. Mm-hmm. Will God clean you up if you do it? Yeah, He will. But you keep doing it, and you're going to get yourself a severe spanking. Because God's going to get your attention eventually. And this is across the board on anything, on these things. We're talking about the darkest age that there's ever been right now. But in the midst of that, God has got a bride that's doing one step at a time. And God has not lost you.
Amen.
God has not left you. God wants you to trust Him.
Amen.
Amen. I spent a lot longer on that than I wanted to. Praise the Lord. If any child of God will come to Him with the same faith that someone else did, God is obligated to heal you. If you come with the same purpose, the same motive, the same everything before God, God is obligated to answer your prayer. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to stop doubting whether we've got the Holy Ghost and simply receive it and walk in. God told Abraham He's going to have a son, and what did he start doing? They started sowing booties. And you young people just looked at me like, what in the world is a booty? Baby clothes? He began to sow these clothes because he had something, a faith that was pointing towards, God is going to give me this son. God is going to give us this. And I'm here to tell you, God told us we're going to have a rapture. You're going to have a body change. And we may look ridiculous to the world because we're probably one of the few people that believe God's taking this bride and rapture.
Yeah.
God's taking it. Your friends may laugh at you. They may look at you. They may poke fun at you. Pick your head up and keep running.
Yeah.
Our prayer request of the day of a town in Africa. This town needed water so badly. To the desperation that they called a town meeting, and they had everybody come together for this meeting to pray for rain. And there was one little girl that showed up to the prayer meeting with her umbrella and her rain boots. And when she came to the prayer meeting, she came expecting, I'm going to pray, and God's going to answer my prayer. I'm praying for rain. I want to hold my umbrella. When I'm praying for rain, I want to have my rain boots on my feet. Because God, I asked it, and God's going to give it to me. And I'm here to tell you, if you've got a need tonight, whether you're in this room, if you're at home, wherever you are, if you've got a need, you say, but I've got this need, and I've got this inside me where I need God to answer this prayer. Are you going to hold your umbrella? Are you going to wear your rain boots, even though it looks ridiculous outside? As ridiculous as when Noah said, it's going to rain. It's never done it before. It had never rained before. It had never caused rain to come from the sky. But this man heard a message. And it said, God said, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it. And I'm giving you a refuge. Get inside this ark. Look how ridiculous he must have looked, young people. Look how ridiculous he must have looked being different than everybody else. And you think it was ridiculous building the ark? Think about how much more ridiculous it was when he got inside there and shut the door. God shut the door. And then still no rain. This man said he heard God. This man said that God spoke to him. This man said that if there's rain's going to come from the sky. This man's been walking different all this time, and now he's in an ark and the door shut. How insane does he look? But all of a sudden, one day, here real shortly, a little bitty cloud started rolling up there, and something they had never saw before. Water coming from the sky. And listen to what I'm saying. This bride has been given a message that God is going to take us in a rapture. And here we have been shut up inside this ark. And people think we're ridiculous because we're still, sisters, still wearing their long dresses, still wearing their long hair, still keeping the paint off their face. And a lot of the people that followed for a little while to Noah's gathering, after a while, they quit coming. There's a lot of people that come to message churches, but they quit coming. They said, you know what? I really thought that was it. I really thought the rapture was fixing to take place. I threw all my makeup away. I threw the TV out. I no longer wore pants. I no longer did this. I no longer did that. I ran so hard, I cast that away, and I waited for a little while, and all of a sudden I seen nothing ever happened. No rapture ever took place. So you know what I did? I just took all that stuff right back up. And I'm happier now than I've ever been. And you look at their life. And they're 10 times worse than they ever were before. Look at their family's life. It's 10 times worse than it ever was before. It's because they had their head down rather than having their head up and running this race. Those people that walked away and quit, it wasn't one thought that came to their minds. You know what? You may as well quit. Okay, I'll quit. No. If they'd come to church and that devil would come down and say, you know what? You're not getting anything out of this. This preacher ain't fiery. He ain't no Donnie Reagan. He ain't none of this. He ain't that. He's not sophisticated. You don't have a big sound. You don't have a whole lot of people. Little, that devil will stand there with a chisel and a hammer, and he'll hit, 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 until finally you give a little bit. And when you give a little bit toward the devil, it is like a landslide. I remember me and my Uncle James one time was fishing. I think I was 14 years old. We were fishing, and we had worked stacked rock all day long. We just needed some guy time. So we went out there to the river, and the drop-off was literally like 12 or 14 feet way down where we were. So, muddy. We're standing on top of that, and I seen something down on the bottom down there that just kept catching my attention, and it looked like a fish bait, a fishing lure. And I just something inside me just kept being attracted to that. Like, you know what? That's free. I could get that. And my Uncle James said, Daniel, you better quit messing around there. You're going to fall down there, and you're going to be stuck. I said, no. I said, I'll be all right. And I started, I got a stick, and I'm reaching down there and toward the edge of this river, and I'm reaching down trying to get that lure. And at first, I was super, super careful. I was real careful not to get myself in a bad situation. But you know what happened after just a little while? I got comfortable. And then once I got comfortable, I got closer to that edge, and next thing I knew, I slid all the way down that thing. I rolled all the way down, and I'm muddy all over my face, all over my side, and it's river mud. And my kids know what river mud looks like. We took the side-by-side out here not too long ago, and they got firsthand. We saw them side-by-side, needless to say. I'm here on the bottom of this thing, and I've got mud all over me, and I look absolutely ridiculous. And then he sat there and laughed at me. And I tried everything I could to try to get out of that thing. I grabbed roots, I grabbed this, I grabbed this, I grabbed this. And it seems like the harder I tried to get out of that situation, the worse it got. Finally, he threw a rope down and he got me out of there. I say this, brother, sister, because listen to what I'm saying.
The devil will tempt you with these certain little things that you're battling with. And at first, you're okay. You think you can handle it. You can get around friends. You think that I'm okay. I can handle it. Listen to Brother Daniel saying to you. You're going to get too comfortable. You're going to have your guard down. And once you fall down, you're going to make a mess. And then the harder you try to get out of it, the worse it's going to get. Pick your head back up and start running this race. Have your eyes on the prize, on what we're running for. Amen. The bride is on display in the darkest hour this world has ever seen. But in the midst of this dark hour, the bride is displaying the character of Christ. I want you to go to Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. This is what Brother Branham says about this. Now watch it. God said, I'll send my fear before you. Now God said, I'll make a way for you. I'll send my fear before you. And when you go, I'll send my hornets before you. And now when he got over there, he found out there, they looked at them great walled cities. Them spies went out and come back and said, we can never take it. Them cities are walled so high. Why? I sent out one over the tribe, I guess, of the 12. And right there at Kadesh Barnea, where they come, the judgment seat, there's where they failed, because they listened to the bigger percent of men who come back and said, wow, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of them. See, they were looking at symptoms when Joshua and Caleb was looking at what God said, I give you the land. No matter how big the city is, how big the giants are, God's bigger than all, and God's the one that made the promise. So they wanted to go over, and they said, it's a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land. Now they come back with some evidence, and I'm glad that somebody crossed over, brought back some evidence. Yes, sir. And there's grapes over in the land over there. Yes, sir. And they come back and brought the evidence finally, and when God had to get away from the church age, raise up another man called Joshua, went out into the promised land, and they fought down every Philistine. Now look. Listen to what he's saying here. Now look, God said, I'm not going to give it to you all at one time. If I give it to you all at one time, if I do, then the whole land will be swept bare. Then the wild beasts will multiply against you and will overcome you. I'm just going to give it to you little by little. As you're able to possess the land, I'm going to drive them out and give it to you little by little. That's the way God does tonight, maybe today. So you say, well, I do feel a little bit better. Well, praise God. We'll take some. We got Canaanites today. We'll take Amorites tomorrow, then, see? And just as you're able to take it, God, you might break your neck if you got it all at once, you see? So God just gives it to you. God just gives it to you just as you're able to fight it out. Well, you say, I couldn't move my hand only that much yesterday, but I can move it this much today. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow I'll move it that much, you see, just little by little. We would love it that we could say, oh God, when you go up to the prayer line and God pray, and all of a sudden all of your giants are dead, and now I don't have to fight these battles no more. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, when you get up tomorrow, there's going to be another battle. There's going to be another giant. There's going to be another Amorite you're going to have to fight. There's going to be another Philistine you're going to have to fight. But don't look at it that way. It's one step at a time. Mm-hmm. You beat the devil today. Don't worry about the worries of tomorrow. They'll take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. rebirth today, one step at a time, and God will provide for you. God will fight your battles in you. Amen. So my brother Daniel, every time he gets over, he talks some touchy stuff, don't he? Well, I tell you, it is the truth. Amen. A person can't just go through the motions living a lukewarm life and expect to see miracles. No, we know the scriptures where you can speak to this mountain and he'll be cast over into the seas. And probably just about everybody in the building can quote that scripture. But you know, you can't live in a stagnant water and expect those things to take place. But you got to put yourself in a position to where you can be successful. And this goes naturally too. I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes before we close. And I didn't plan on doing this, but I really feel the Lord really directing this toward our young people. Listen to what I'm saying about finances. If you're struggling with your finances, the Lord will show you how you got to be a good steward over what God gave you. And if you can be a good steward over what God gave you, God will provide for you. But you can't expect to spend your money however you want and then think that God's going to keep refilling your cup. Because he's not being a good provider for you if he does that. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I caught myself becoming my father, my dad. When I was hollering at the kids, turn the lights out. Does it kill you to turn the light out? And my wife said, I think she might have been one pointed out. I said, you sound just like your dad. It's because that light bill costs money. You know, you got money. Just because you got money doesn't mean you have money to spend. Just because you've got a good paycheck, what I've learned over the years, young people, is whenever I will get a very good paycheck, if I will hold on to that, I will need that right around the corner. But a lot of times when we get a good paycheck, we're like, okay, I'm going shopping. How many knows what I'm talking about? You're looking at a guy that's been through that. Brother Tony, you too? Not you. He says, yo. Because whenever you be a better steward over what you've done, and you'll hold off, and you'll hold off, you'll find out that God will trust you with more money. God will give you more. But you got to be able to show you're a good steward over what God gave you. And whenever you take the finances that God gave you, and you say, Lord, I'm giving you the first fruits of this. I'm giving my tithes. When you do that, you are not buying Brother Tony a new tie. You're not buying Brother Tony a new pair of shoes, a new suit, a haircut. You can't look at those that way. You got to say, I'm giving this to God. Because that is what you're doing. You're giving your tithes to God and saying, God, thank you for giving me my job. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for doing the things that you've done, God. Thank you. And when you do that and you give that to God, you are honoring the precepts of God's word and where God can bless you. But you know, we got an offering where the offering is something where you are giving of yourself and you're saying, God, I love you and I thank you. This is my offering to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you for it, Lord. And when you do that, you are giving yourself an opportunity to be blessed. When you do those things. But it's all about perspective. If you look at the wrong perspective, like my wife, if she was to look at the perspective and I say, you're going to get better, the contractions will stop. And she can't look at me and say, you don't know what I'm going through. And my wife was really good in pregnancy. She was very good. But whenever you're going through the crunch and you're feeling the heat of the pain of the, it's real easy to not be able, it's just to because you're physically and you're mentally, I'm saying, you know what? You don't know what I'm going through. Your needs are met. You don't know what, trust me, Brother Daniel knows. If you will honor the precepts that God gave you and you give the tithes and you give the offerings, and then when you're at work, you do everything that you do in the name of the Lord. You do your job in the name of the Lord. When you're at work, one step at a time, when you are at work, you're not riding the clock. You're not sitting around here. You're abiding by the rules. If the rule says you got to do this, you got to do it. You got to follow the rules. Because if you're not, you're murmuring, you're disputing, and you're bringing a bad representation to, as a Christian. But whenever you do your job, you need to conduct yourself at your job as if you were doing it for the Lord. How good of a job should we be doing at everything that we do? If you will do that, listen to what I'm saying. If you will do your job and do it in the way that you're going to do it for the Lord, if you will do that, you are giving yourself an opportunity for advancement. Because you're going to be the best of the best. You're going to be honest. You're going to be hardworking. You're going to be dependable. Whenever you've got bills, when you've got bills to pay, you know what? Don't put yourself beyond your means. That's one of the worst things of America. I'm talking about battles. When you're in the midst of this battle today, the biggest problem people do with their finances is they're trying to live beyond their means. They think they got to have the big house, the big car, the big this, the big that. Well, I can't pay tithes because I have to pay the bills. Well, it's because you didn't ask the Lord before you did those things. And if you'll be honest before the Lord and say, Lord, I know my friends probably get frustrated with me because I'll say, we're fixing the move. We're going to move. We're going to move. And I'm ready. And myself, I'm ready. But when it comes down to it, I don't have to go in my heart from the Lord to say, okay, now you go. And it can make you look foolish sometimes. Brother Tony's, I've given him such a hard time over the years because I'll ask that brother a question sometimes and he won't give me a quick answer. He'll sit there and think about it. Sister Lisa says, hey, man. You know, ask him a question. Brother Tony, what about this? And even before he had the beard, he did that. Brother Tony, what about this? And it's a quick question, Brother Tony. Yeah, a real quick question. What's it? You know what? What's a wonderful characteristic? Because he's not just going to jump into something. He's not just going to say something. He's going to think about it. He's saying, Lord, what do you think about that? And because he does that, because he thinks about that, how quick would you be interested and listen to what his counsel is about doing something? You say amen? Because you can look at the characteristic in your pastor that God has put inside him. He doesn't just jump into something. He thinks about it. And sometimes people laugh at him. People look at him, I just did. Lord, forgive me. But don't forgive me. It's like, because you want a quick question. No, because I'm not going to jump into something. I'm going to think about it. I want to know what the Lord says about it. Because Brother Tony knows that if I will wait on the Lord will provide. But if I just jump into something, you know how long that brother waited to get a car? That poor old car went through it. I felt sorry for it. But that brother pieced it, put it back together, and said, Brother Tony, won't you buy a car? And he said, yeah, I'm going to. And the next thing you know, he's like, well, I'll put it off for a little bit. A few months later, Brother Jan, I think I'm going to get a car. I'm like, okay. He said, well, I think we'll put it off a little bit. I was like, well, brother. And I said, I realize this brother is not going to go out. And Brother Tony, Brother Tony's waiting for God to tell you, now, go. And because he did that, he got the car God wanted him to have. And then it's God's car payment to pay for that because he waited on the Lord. You see what I'm saying? When you wait on the Lord and the Lord tells you, go ahead, it's okay to do it now. When you do that, God will cover the checkbook. But it's when you jump into something automatically and you try to do that and then say, okay, God, I'm in this trouble now. I need you to pay the bills. No, you got yourself in that mess and sometimes you have to reap what you sowed. Sometimes you have to bear the thorns. You'll get out of the thorn patch eventually, but you're going to have the thorns in you for a little while. And this is what I'm talking about, stewardship for the Lord. Not just with your finances, brothers and sisters. I'm talking spiritually also. The spiritual investment God's put in your life of the time that you've devoted to the Lord. Be a good steward of that. And say, Lord, I don't want to waste this precious fire that you put inside me with the world. God, help me to be a good investment and help somebody. Let's all stand. I always hated it when I was a young person and the preacher would say, I'm going to speak to the young people. I'm like, great.
You guys have had it easy. I can remember going to an old church years ago, and I walked in this old country church, and I was in the back, and I just wanted to be in the crowd. I just wanted to be there. And I wanted the Lord, but I didn't want to be front stage like Hannah is, you know, singing her songs. I remember this old preacher said, "Son, stand up." I just put my head down. I said, "No, you, stand up." I kept putting my head down. I said, "You with this shirt on, you, black hair, you, stand up." I was like, "Okay." I stood up and said, "Testify." I love Jesus. I just tried to come up with something to say. I know what it's like to be put on the spot. I know sometimes it feels plumb uncomfortable. And sometimes you'll think, "I wish he wouldn't do that. I hate it he does that." But you know what? I know that man did that because he loved me. And he knew enough, he had enough experience under his belt that he knew that if I can start testifying what God has done in my life, I would see how much God is in my life. God is in your life.
Amen.
He's with you on your job. He's with you when you do your school. God's with you when you're in your car. God is with you. He has not left you. He is with you.
Amen.
So testify what God has done. We'll ask every hand to be bowed. And ask my brother Tony, if you don't mind, come on forward, brother. Testify what God has done in your life. With every head bowed, I just want you to please search your heart tonight. Don't do it like a formality, but just be sincere before the Lord. And just talk to Him. Say, "Lord, I don't." If you fight that battle, that spirit of that devil trying to say, "You may as well quit. You may as well give up. You may as well just, it's not even worth it." Trust me, I know it's fight. I fight this battle too, brothers and sisters. Every head bowed. Please don't look around. I want to ask you, if you're fighting that battle, why don't you lift your hand up to the Lord? You testify this morning. The Lord sees your hands. And listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying right now. When you head bowed, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. That's from the devil. The Lord will never tell you to quit. He will always draw you higher. He will always move you forward. Now, I'm going to pray with you, and you're welcome to pray right where you're sitting. But if you need Brother Daniel or Brother Tony to lay hands on you, to give you that extra boost of faith, won't you come on forward right now? And we'll open it up for you. That ain't nothing but a lie of the devil. Sister, we're going to pray with you. And you put that devil right back under your foot. You hear me? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. You're a child of God. You always was a child of God. You always will be a child of God. And that devil is just trying to get in your mind to make you doubt. But you, from this now on more, we're going to pray with you. You say, "From this day forth, I am not listening to that stinking devil no more. I know God loves me. I know God cares about me. I know God's with me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, you know that stinking devil, Lord, has been coming through. He's trying to put those defeating thoughts, Lord, in minds, Lord, of telling you may as well quit. It doesn't matter what you've done. You've done this, you've done that, you may as well quit. It's a lie of the devil. Oh God, I'm asking you give this sister strength and encouragement tonight, Lord. Lord God, the ministry here lays our hands upon this sister, Lord, and we command this spirit to leave, Lord. It tries to beat her down in her mind, oh God. Lord, would you give her a refilling of your spirit tonight, Lord God? Lord God, would you break every chain that tries to bind her, oh God? Lord Jesus, may she be able to cast down every imagination that's against you, Lord God. Lord God, may she be able to do as your word says, think on these things. Think on the good things of God. Think about your word, Lord. Think about the battles that you have won in her life, Lord. Lord, you are the God of battles, Lord. You're the God of victory. I'm asking you to touch this sister right now. In Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, God, give her that joy in her heart, Lord. Restore the joy of her salvation, oh, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not in a
rushed to get away. We're here right now. If the Lord's dealing with you and moving on you, don't you feel like you have to rush out?
Said that he'd make such a difference between Israel and the Egyptians that while the Egyptians were dying from all the things that were taking place there in the Passover night, God said not a dog won't even move his tongue in among the people of Israel. And that's just my own way of saying it, is that there wasn't even a dog barking, because if he barks, he's moving his tongue to do it. But God said, I'm going to show you how much difference I put between. And if I can just try to instill you to believe that in this hour, while there's death flying around everywhere, that God said he'll make a difference. See, your life does not have to be like the life of the people in the world. You do not have to go away and have the things going on. They may have tragedies, and tragedies try to strike your house, your home, your life. God said he'll make a difference, but you got to believe that, and you got to expect that. Expect that he'll make a difference. And you know, Brother Daniel was talking just a little bit about the Passover night, that while that was going on, they were standing there with their staff in their hand, the shoes over their feet, on their feet, eating the Passover, and they were ready to move. And we've got to be that way. We've got to realize that if you're convinced of the hour that you live in, you're going to be concerned, and you're going to have those shoes on your feet, that staff in your hand. In other words, you're going to be ready to leave in a rapture. You're going to be dressed like it, acting like it, believing it,
yes,
instead of laying with your feet propped up. You know, see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, but while it's like that, while you're ready and you believe in God and trust in him, death might be falling all around you, but the scripture said that 1,000 might fall to your side and 10,000 to your right hand, but it will not. It shall not come nigh your dwelling. That's Psalms 91. Go read it. It's good. It's right. It's good to read that. But yeah, that's the promises of God. We just have to believe that's the case.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And just hold on, step by step, yeah, day by day. I used to tell this years before that we had an old truck we used to go haul wood in, and we'd go up in the mountains, and you know, even sometimes out behind the house there up in the woods, and you wouldn't want to take your regular vehicle up and get it all scratched and dented and everything. But we had an old truck, and wasn't anything to look at, but it had what we call granny gear. It's had that, you know, you had regular first, second, and third in reverse, but it had another gear, and it was really slow. And it was so slow, you wouldn't go very fast. You could actually pull out on the choke just a little bit so the engine would move up a little RPM. You could out and walk beside the thing because it was so slow. But it was excellent for going and getting a truckload full of wood because it could pull anything. And we call that granny gear. That's right. The reason why I'm saying that, it's not real fast, but it's real strong.
Amen.
And you know what? When you don't feel like it, when you don't feel good, you don't feel like praising the Lord, that's the time you need to be in granny gear. May not seem like you're making much travel, but I can guarantee you the strength is there and it's moving. And when it comes to an obstacle, it might take it just a little bit to do it, but it's going to push that obstacle out of the way or go right over the top of it or something like that. And that's what our experience is. So step by step, you shall have it. But don't be wary in well-doing. Just, you know, don't faint, right?
That's right.
And you'll have it. So may the Lord bless you. I appreciate what Brother Daniel had to share tonight. Amen. God's people will be the people that have the most amount of integrity in anybody in the world. And we were fellowshipping back there just a little while ago. And right now in this world, with all the things that's going on, every person, I really believe every person on this planet, their character is being tested and tried to see what they've got. Because there's so many people taking advantage of things that they shouldn't. You know, and their character. And everybody's got to have their opinion on what's going on. And God, I believe God's taking records. Right? Keeping track of it. And so this thing is on the move now. Sing this again, and then you can be dismissed as we sing. Oh, in your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, please show.